next Sunday. It's such an important holiday. There's nothing against Christmas. Christmas is beautiful. Nothing against Thanksgiving and all the other holidays, but Easter, the resurrection day, it's all in a league of its own. Because whereas all other holidays seem to look backward, Easter reminds us that something better is coming, right? Really, someone better is coming. If it hasn't happened to you yet, one day it will happen. Life will shake you up. The things that happen in this life, the things that go wrong, the injustices, the tragedies that inevitably happen to you will shake you up, and it'll scar you. It'll hurt. You may be thinking that you're in a positive season of life right now, and that's great, but there will come a time when the hardships of injustices will frighten you and confuse you. But what is so beautiful about Easter, and I hope you can see it, Easter has a way of being that light at the end of the tunnel, the light that is so impressive. It has a way of grabbing your little shaky hand out of the place where you're stuck in life. Easter, or you call it Resurrection Sunday, and if it's old German, it's Oster. Old Easter, old English is Esther. Easter or Oster or Resurrection Sunday, it is the only holiday I know that makes us look forward instead of backward. Easter is also not just for wishful thinking. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that you can touch a factual, historic holiday, well over 500 witnesses. Everything's public, it's not private. A specific date and time still tied to the calendar that we still use today. And though our culture still celebrates and thinks that chocolate and bunnies will make us happier, nobody can take the joy of what Easter means to us. Behold, I tell you a mystery, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everybody twinkle your eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will call us in the air, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Don't you see it? There's not a more impressive holiday. The resurrection of Jesus pulls you up and out of where you're stuck in life. It pulls you out of the insanity of this life and gives us believers a glimpse, a much-needed factual glimpse of the next chapter of where our bodies are going to be. But Easter is just 6 days away. It's going to be here before you know it. My fear, though, is that Easter Sunday will come and go, and just like every other Sunday, yes, you may dress a little nicer. You may sing a few other songs. You may have dinner with your family with ham and turkey. But if you don't stop and think and prepare for this week, we'll totally miss the power of the resurrection. Some of you have taken time to prepare for Easter over the past 40 days. Well done. But I think we can do it in six. Just 6 days. 6 days is more than enough time. And what I'd like to do today is speak to you about today is about what I think is a very beautiful way that we might prepare for Easter. All because it comes right from the Word of God. It's not human tradition. And it's the example of the Lord Jesus himself. So before we begin, let's ask the Lord for help and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help. Help protect this hour and give us some solid time free from distraction where we can honestly listen to you, hear from you, and so we can abide in you. Jesus, we want to abide in you so that we can bear fruit for you. We know that your word says that whoever abides in you ought to walk in the same way that you also walk. So help us learn to walk in you today. God, I pray the sermon is not just a bunch of words, but our chance to really listen to you, to be strengthened by you, to correct our way of walking, to sharpen us. And God, I thank you for all of my Christian friends and brothers and sisters here today. I pray that you will most sincerely bless them, encourage them, and fuel their soul for this coming week. What probably is the most beautiful holiday, holy day of all time. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this past few weeks, I really honestly did my best just to read through the part of the Bible that speaks of and describes of the Holy Week, of the week before the cross. Just wanted to keep my mind open to what was happening each day, taking lots of notes, just observing and listening to what Jesus did and how Jesus walked. It's 6 days, a day of welcome, a day of cleansing, a day for teaching, a day of silence, a day of serving, and a day of peace. First slide, please. Sunday is the first day. It's a day of welcome, and we now call it Palm Sunday. The Sunday before Easter, the day where these words were fulfilled from the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Just like the slide you see here, too, on the screen. Imagine you were there. You and your family's coats are spread upon the streets of Jerusalem. It means that your king is coming. A palm branch in his hand, and just like your family waving the branch, they've done it for years, they wave it whenever there's a victory. And the words, Hosanna, it means save. Please save. Fort Belvoir Christians, that's where it all starts. It starts with preparing for Easter, a most welcome heart. It starts by showing up, just like how are you doing today? Showing up is half the battle, but the other half is showing up with a welcome and a most needy heart that says save and please save. Next slide. Day one is Sunday, a day of welcome, but day two is a day of cleansing. If you're with me, let's turn to God's Word and where we read what Monday would have looked like. We'll read from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Listen or read along if you prefer. Mark chapter 11, beginning verse 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought into the temple. And he overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? You have made a den of robbers. The picture you see on the screen is a fig tree with fruit, but it's not what's described in our text. Our text describes fruitless tree. A fig tree or a vine, symbols of how the prophets used to describe God's people, similar to how we might call today a strong man who was like a mighty oak. But Jesus saw a fruitless tree. and his disappointment over fruitless lives we see in our text. Do you see the connection between the fruitless fig tree and Jesus' cleansing of the temple? For those of you who have tried to grow vegetables in a rocky soil, you know it can't be done. And those of you who have tried to lose weight but continue to put junk in your body, you know it can't be done. And those of you who have tried to create a positive work environment and a warm place where you enjoy working together, but you tolerate the negative people in your work environment, I hope you get the connection. That if we want a healthy, positive environment, if we want fruit to be born in our lives, you have to clean out the temple. And that's what Jesus shows us here. Jesus goes straight to the heart of the temple, of the culture, of the fruitless culture, and he cleans out the sin. But steering it to a personal level too, remember that God has called each of us as believers a temple, a place of the dwelling of God. From Ephesians 2:22, you are growing into a temple of the Holy Lord. Your body is being built into a dwelling of God in the temple. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Your body is not a own. You were bought with a price. So if we want to be a fruit-bearing tree, a fruit-bearing person, if we want to be a fruitful community like Jesus describes and he likes of us too, Monday, as you prepare for Easter, make Monday a day of cleansing for you. Miss Monday, ask yourself the question, what is preventing me from being a fruitful person? What kind of sin in my life is preventing me from being the man or woman that God intends me to be, a fruit-bearing man or woman for God's glory? Am I a house of profit, always looking for gain and getting something, for wishing, for wanting more? Or instead, try this, to see your body as a house of prayer. It's God's temple, a house of prayer for all the nations. This Monday, as you pray for Easter, do some spring cleaning. Ask the Lord to help you in that process too. Make Monday, as you pray for Easter, a day of cleansing. So day one, a day of welcome. Showing up and be ready for, with a heart ready for God to help us. Day two, a day of cleansing. But day three, Tuesday, is a day for teaching. If you take some time to read through the Gospels and the Gospel of Mark, you'll find there's a whole lot of teaching that happens on day three, on the day we now call Tuesday. Jesus and his disciples, they pass the fig tree that's been cursed, we read about. We now call it Tuesday. Right after, Jesus returns to the temple that he cleaned out, and he confronts the religious leaders, and he corrects and teaches the religious leaders in the temple. So fitting is that the first parable he mentions. It's a story of a vineyard owner, an owner who expects to find fruit in his vineyard, but he sends out his servants and even his own son, but that the men beat and kill the servants, even the owner's son. So fitting, right before the crucifixion. It's also this time where Jesus answers some of the hot questions of the day that are in Jerusalem. Should we pay taxes to a government that's oppressive and to a Caesar, a Roman emperor that's hurting our culture? Jesus also taught on life, if there is married life in heaven. But then Jesus also sat down in the temple across from where the money's being collected, right in front of many well-off people who were giving large sums of money. And then a poor widow came out and put 2 copper coins into the offering. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all the contributions to the treasury. for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, she put in all she owned and all she had to live on. The point of this of time is not really to help you understand all that Jesus taught on this third day before Easter, but rather to help you to remember the importance of good teaching and good learning. And as you prepare for Easter, and I hope that you make day three, Tuesday, a day of teaching and a day of learning. There are lots of ways you can learn. There are so many solid speakers and preachers and teachers out there. And I know you've got your favorite ones, and I've got mine, each with unique voice and style. If you need a money help, if you need marriage help or parenting help or any kind of help in life, there are some wonderful teachers out there that can help you. There are wonderful podcasts there as well, too. One of the podcasts I really enjoy listening to is one called The Eric Metaxas Show. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. He just interviews a lot of different wonderful Christians from different lines of work, Christian actors and Christian authors and Christian doctors and Christian scientists, Christian lawyers and Christian movie makers, all who help make just learning the Christian life more enjoyable. He just did it in such a fun, entertaining way. I know that for those of you who have children at home, there's a wonderful series called What's in the Bible? From the creator of VeggieTales. They do such a wonderful job of walking you through the scriptures and helping you learning. We've always enjoyed a book at the dinner table called Sticky Situations. It's a wonderful way of just helping you talk through life, through case scenarios of what life is like as a child, and it really makes learning fun. I know some of you participate in small groups and home groups. And I hope that Tuesday is just a reminder of the importance of teaching. But there's no better teacher, of course, than the Holy Spirit and God, His Word opened up you and Him alone. One of the Psalms I read this morning, Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I have more insight than all of my teachers. I have more insight than all of my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I also love the way that Jesus teaches on Tuesday here too. He just has a way of slowing down and catching the motive of a woman with two coins giving in the offering. Jesus has a way of not even just teaching in a formal teaching way, but just a way of using the fig trees and using the real episodes of life, talking about the current events, talking about should God and government, how can we worship God using, honoring our Caesar, but also honoring God at the same time too. So just a thought, as you prepare for Easter this week, I hope Tuesday will be a teaching for you. Wednesday, day four, is a day of silence. For some reason, when you read through the scriptures on the fourth day of the week, it's really quite strange. You won't find anything written on Wednesday. And arguably, I think, is one of the most days of high activities in Jerusalem when there would be a lot of written about what Jesus was doing. Strangely, a Wednesday is silent. Why is Wednesday silent? I don't know. But as a man who has really enjoyed silence in my life and come to cultivate the quiet times of my life, I hope you also might make Wednesday a day of silence. Of course, I don't know if Jesus intended the whole day to be a day of pure silence, but it's interesting how after a day of teaching, Wednesday is a day of quietness. A time devoted to thinking, creative thoughts, and planning, and journaling, and dreaming, time set aside to refocus and get the perspective back in life. For some reason, God intended, or the scriptures to have not a lot of written on day Wednesday. The day is silent. Wouldn't that be just a real fantastic way to prepare for Easter? Just like Jesus, who probably stayed quiet in the town of Bethany this day, just a day of silence. The next day, Thursday, first Sunday is a day of welcome, Tuesday, or Monday is a day of cleansing, and then Tuesday a day of teaching, Wednesday a day of silence, and Thursday is a day of serving. I think it's interesting, if you had just one day left, one interrupted last dinner meal with your family and the people that you loved, what would you do? From John chapter 13, this is what we read. Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. He poured water in a large basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. He wiped them with a towel that was wrapped around him and said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Imagine you being there and having your feet washed by Jesus, and then hearing these words. You call me Lord, and you call me teacher, but you also ought to wash one another's feet. We're also told that Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And Jesus also took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and saying to them, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, the washing of the feet and the body broken, both come with a charge, and they come with a charge to action. A charge for us to wash the feet of those people that God has put in our lives, and also to take our body and have it broken and given to others. This Sunday, or this coming Thursday, as you think of Easter and prepare for Easter, I hope it'll be a day of serving for you. Maybe when you ask the question, "Lord, who in my life can I wash their feet? And for who can I break my body and give it to others?" Just think how beautiful it would be if our community of Christians here at Fort Belvoir would do that. Think how God would be pleased if he saw us washing the feet of those we love and us breaking the body wherever God has placed us. Finally, Friday is Good Friday. There will be chapel services to attend, and I hope you can attend them if you can. It does always have a way of settling our mind and giving us perspective as Easter comes. But sometime during the day on Good Friday, I hope you can read one of the most beautiful and sobering passages that is found in the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53. Interesting, the words in Isaiah 53 are written 700 years before they're fulfilled. And I'd like to read a few of them here for you now. Isaiah 53, verse 3 says, "He was despised and he was rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquity." Good Friday, it means a lot of different themes, It means a day of sorrow. It means a day of rejection. It means a day of wounds. It also is a day of being crushed, where God was crushed for our sin. Isaiah 53 continues, he said, upon him was the chastisement that has brought us peace. And by his stripes, we are healed. I think Isaiah is right, too. It's not just a day of wounds, and it wasn't a day of just of sadness and healing. It's also a day of peace and a day of healing. Isaiah 53 continues. It says, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous. So not just being healed and not just a day of peace, but it's also a day when we were counted righteous by what God has done. So Good Friday, it's a day of goodness, it's a day of peace, and it's a day of healing. But it's also a day of victory and a day of goodness when God has made us righteous. 1 Corinthians 15 says it so well. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Friday. I hope you can remember, too, when you think of Friday this week, too, it's a day of peace, but it's also a day of healing and victory. So that's what Holy Week might look like if you happen to live it out this week. It's a day of welcoming, of showing up and being ready to have our hearts ready for God. But then Monday, it's a day of cleansing. A day we can think about the rocks that are preventing fruit from growing in our garden. And then the next day, Tuesday, it's a day of teaching. Once we have our garden emptied out and ready for growth, we're ready to hear God's word. And I pray that on Tuesday, you make it a day of teaching. But then after teaching, Wednesday, a day of silence, a day of thinking and contemplating and meditating upon the things that God has taught us, right? So that on Thursday, we have a day of putting to action what we have heard and thought about and meditated upon. It's just a beautiful pattern for living the Holy Week, and I hope it's meaningful for you. I hope that encourages you as you think about this week, too, and I hope it's a wonderful way for you to prepare for Easter, and perhaps what a wonderful way of spending every week of your life living in this pattern. So that's how we, I think, at Fort Belvoir can prepare for Easter. I hope you're ready for it. And I hope that you don't miss the power of the resurrection. That's how we'll experience it when we walk in the way that Jesus also walked. Would you pray with me?